WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively at State Fair doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm running out of lottery tickets. I mean, there's a lot of people here. Some people are going to be lucky. A lot of people eating shrimp and stuff with their hands, eating burgers, finger foods. They don't have time to scratch right now. People are in conversation. We're doing a Friday happy hour out here. I am giving away these throwbacks. You remember the old wishbone here, Chris Pike? Yes. 50-year, 50th anniversary. Enter for a chance to win a second chance. I always tell people, if you don't win, you get second chances. Download the app. Make sure you're doing that. This is the first ever scratch-off. I'm giving these away. We'll be at the local on the 23rd up in Falston. A little bye week next week for Black-Eyed Susan, Preakness, Orioles, Shohei Ohtani, John Waits playing at Guinness. And this program is brought to you by Window Nation. With the floppy hat, looks like I've gone fishing here, and I am fishing for a contender, fishing for great radio. Chris Pika abandoned me, his wife, his cats, South Baltimore, Mount St. Joe, the Catholic League, to go run off with the Gypsies of the XFL for a number of weeks. This is actually a logo, right? This is a team you work with?
Sea Dragons, yes.
All right, so 1 minute you're doing Catholic League this and ESPN that, doing basketball and March Madness. And the next thing I know, you said, I got a call, PR, back in the league. I mean, you had an eventful 8 weeks, and you survived Katrina and went to San Antonio to work for the Saints.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. But
you've added to your wacky resume.
Yeah, it is one of those things when you put the you know, you put that with Michael Jordan, you put it with the Bahamas Bowl experience and some other things.
It's, Radio Rose with Nestor.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, 18 Super Bowls, you just kind of... It's, I don't want to say you get numb to it because you don't. You appreciate the fact that you get opportunities like that. I was grateful to have the opportunity.
You know what I like doing? I like you watching you do what you do because you're really good at doing. You know that job inside and out. We talk about it. You know how the sausage is made, and you know that 89% of the fans will never know. Maybe they'll never care. And certainly, you try to help them understand. And I think that's been my role for 30 years, understanding more about what really goes on.
Yeah, so I get a phone call. They need somebody to come in and assist in a PR role with the team. Long story there. I'll leave that be. But basically, I flew.
This is the Rocks League. Please tell people what the league is, because I'm
right.
Not sure everybody even knows.
The XFL was...
My wife was wondering, by the way,
right.
So this would be educational.
The league was around in 2020, but stopped due to COVID. Their season was just getting underway. They went through bankruptcy. The team was bought by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, his ex-wife, Danny Garcia, and a venture capital group called Redbird Capital Partners, I think out of New York, Jerry Cardinale. And so they wanted to restart this league as a spring league, one of the two that it's currently in play, along with the USFL. And so there was some opportunities there, and their schedule lines up basically with the end of the Super, with basically at right at the tail end of the Super Bowl week, they start the regular season, and then they go through early May, which is in OTA season for all the NFL clubs. So players are in game shape. Players have 10
These
games.
These are players
game.
That want to play in the NFL?
Yes. You may have some guys, and I'll say this. They're three different types of players. You have guys that have been in the NFL that want to get back. There would be people on our roster like Josh Gordon trying to make his way back. Philip Lindsay, who was an undrafted free agent, made the Pro Bowl, also trying to make his way back. So you have those guys that have...
You had a very sad situation. You had
right,
a death.
And I'll get to that in a little bit.
But he was
bit.
A kid trying to make it back,
yes,
right?
Yes, trying to make it back. So you have right. these group of players that maybe in their late 20s, early 30s, that are looking for another opportunity to get back on a roster, maybe want to show what they can do. The next group you have is a bunch of undrafted free agents from last year's draft that are trying to make, you know, trying to get game tape, basically.
Right.
10 games of game tape, possibly playoffs, and be in game shape so that the NFL calls and says, hey, we want to bring you into rookie camp this weekend or next weekend. These guys are in shape and ready to go, and the scouts have something to look at. And you have a third
group. So a lot of these kids are going to wind up running around 8 weeks
right.
from now
yes.
somewhere. Yes.
And you have another group of players who just love playing football, okay, that don't really – they'd like to get a shot – But
they want to play.
They want to play, okay? They just want to play football because they enjoy playing it. It's a chance to extend their careers a little bit. you know,
they've all played a lot of football at a very high level.
Right, they play college football at a high level, and they want to win, they want to play. They want to play for a championship. And maybe they're not in that group of one and two that are going to be looked at seriously by NFL teams, but they're guys that will fill out a roster, want to play, and enjoy playing, and enjoy making a little bit of money while doing it. So these are the types of players that this league has to come in. We had our quarterback was Ben DiNucci, who played at Pitt, who was on the Cowboys, started a game for the Cowboys, was on their practice squad, on their active roster. I mentioned Philip Lindsay. I mentioned Josh Gordon. We had very talented
players. Well, the credibility is also not just in the players, but also in the coaches and
right.
the people.
So you had two groups of coaches. You had coaches who are longtime NFL coaches, like our coach in Seattle, Jim Haslett. You had Wade Phillips, okay? Now, on the other end of it, you've got guys like Reggie Barlow in D.C., Hines Ward in San Antonio, Woodson also in the league. So you had a bunch of young guys that had never been head coaches at any level. You know, our team was probably the most experienced in the coaching.
Marvin's son, Marcus, was working for a team. I mean, it's a training ground for coaches.
It is.
It's a way for a coach to get a gig at Towson or wherever, right?
Our group was a little bit older. Our defensive coordinator was Ron Zook, who was with us in New Orleans, who went on to work in Green Bay. He was head coach at the University of Florida, head coach at Illinois. Our offensive coordinator was June Jones. So you had the run and shoot, and all June's guys were there, the guys he'd worked with for many, many years.
If you just could have brought Hawaii with you,
right.
That would have been better.
Yeah. You know, so these were the types of coaches. And then you had guys that had never coached before who had their first really taste of coaching professional
and
football.
And felt like it was a three-month commitment and not like – I mean, has all these older guys, they're not getting rich doing it. They're doing it because they love doing
it. They want to coach and they want to teach. So it's basically a 14-week deal, 4 weeks of camp. 10 weeks a season. Anything beyond that's a bonus if you get to the playoffs.
It's like doing a television show. It's 14
weeks.
Pretty much.
Right, it's 14 weeks. And minimum 14, maximum 17. And so these guys got together, and this is what they want to do. The XFL has a hub system where all eight teams train in the Dallas area. They pair up at hotels together.
Washington has a team, right?
Yes, D.C. That was a team that beat us in the playoffs to go to the championship game. The D.C. Defenders. So they play
at the soccer stadium, right?
Correct. They play at Audi Field.
Right.
We paired up with Vegas at our hotel. You know, they were in a hotel with us. We were at a high school stadium where we practiced, an artificial turf field, 13,000-seat high school stadium, Dragon Stadium, basically near Grapevine, Texas. Beautiful facility. Locker room was huge. They had the visitors' locker room that Vegas used was just as big as a home side locker room. I mean, this is Texas high school football. This isn't going out to some of the stadiums here in Baltimore, high school
stadiums, okay?
That was our practice facilities. And then you get on a plane together on Saturday. The home team gets to sit up front. Visiting team sits in the back. And you fly
all
to the games.
It's made for television to some degree. I don't want to pick on it.
It's content.
It's a league. It's a developmental league.
It is. And
That's what it is.
Right, and it's content.
Nothing wrong with it.
If you've seen ESPN and Player 54, that's a docuseries about our league. Film 54 has, from the XFL to the NFL, that they're putting on YouTube. So they're very much about content and showing you, basically, like you said, how the sausage is made. How teams prepare, how players prepare. Here's how guys get to that next level. The stories about some of those players are incredibly interesting. You know, and the coaches that help get them, they're also interesting too. So there's a lot of content that the league puts out in different ways, either television, internet, online, whatever that is, to get fans engaged. We're an all-access league. So the cameras are in the locker room in pregame. They hear the pregame speech from the coaches. They're in the locker room at halftime.
So a lot of that is also sort of on the edge from a media standpoint.
Right. Everything the NFL doesn't do, but they'd love to do if they had the chance, here's what we give you. So, for instance, our playoff game against D.C., they had a secondary feed on ESPN+. That feed, you could hear every player, because there are like 15 guys have microphones in their helmets can hear the coaches. Okay, so you can hear both coordinators call the plays in. You can hear the head coach and every bleep and blank that Coach Haslett had on the sidelines, unless he turned his microphone off. All of that you would hear, and so you get a real sense of what the game is like. You know, you can hear we microphone two players a game in the playoffs. It was three. You can hear everything that our quarterback, Ben DiNucci's calling in the huddle. You can hear him running down the field yelling at guys.
So you're not just PRing me here. You really did find it kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's incredibly interesting. You know, DiNucci would run down the field, and he had this, like, hyena laugh after he scored a touchdown that went viral. You know, he had another touchdown where he went into the went in, and it's like, you can't catch me. He's telling the defender this. You hear him telling the defender, you can't catch me today. You know, stuff like that. So you hear the game that unless you played the game and been in those scrums and in those huddles, you know, you don't know what the coach is calling. You hear the coach calling 15 different names as a play call, but then you get to watch kind of that back and forth on the field, and that's really kind of cool. I mean, there's camera angles and access and everything else. Guy scores a touchdown.
And for people that haven't played the game, it's fascinating,
right,
too.
And if you score a touchdown, here's a sideline reporter talking to you in the bench immediately after you score the touchdown. Tell me what happened on that play. We'll pull coach aside, a coordinator. Hey, what was the play call here? What were you trying to do? All in the name of access and giving you a look at football that you don't get at the NFL level because it's more buttoned up. So that's kind of the point.
All right. Well, Chris Pike is here. He is Blog and Tackle. Always a WNST contributor, my first ever media friend at the Baltimore News American. 39 years ago, it was 1984 that it all began. He'll pull it up on newspapers.com and find my old Chris Berg and Bobby Nicky Fortune quotes from 1988. There it is. The Baltimore Renaissance. I began talking to you and Josh Malletra about you've been going to Oriole games since you moved back home a couple years ago, the plague notwithstanding, and where the Ravens are with Lamar. This is a good sports town, right? And people say, it's not New York, it's not Chicago. I was in Philly the other night or whatever. That being said, it's an engaged sports town because there are a lot of people that feel familial with these teams. You know, they have a purple basement. They have an orange soul. When the light flickers again for hope, it's easy to go find an Oriole hat. I was at Dr. Steve's the other day. I want to give him away. Steve Elliott. Family chiropractic, because they are family. So I'm in there getting adjusted before I went to the Seal concert. And Steve's giving me adjustment. His wife, Allison, runs the business. And they've got their son on the phone because he's going to the Oriole game and he's looking for an Oriole shirt to wear. And I've seen Steve's Hawaiian Oriole shirt.
Yep.
I said, get it the Hawaiian. He'll look great in that. And then literally, you know, this is a family talking about Oriole shirts, where to find them. I'm in the middle of their family debate because the kid's going to the game. And then the next day I see the kid and I'm like, hey, how was the game? What shirt did you wear? Oh, just, you know, the orange one, you know, right? But I had that on opening day. I have a lot of orange gear. I have a little Oriole visor that has the old 1973,
right,
just the orange bird on it.
Yep.
A Tommy Davis version, you know, Doyle Alexander,
yep,
look to,
yep,
it, right? Merv Rettman look. And I'm breaking it out. It's fun to be in Baltimore in May of 2023 right now. I believe that.
It is. I mean, it is hope. And there are people that, like I said, it's fun to go to the ballpark. It's a great ballpark to go to. It's, you know, it's great to go to the Ravens games when they're going well and fans want to come down there and see this.
You have the same seat. You always sit in the same seat,
yes,
right?
Yes, yep.
You're a real season ticket holder.
Yeah, I'm 13-game season ticket holder, sitting up in 338 right behind the press box because I like having that view. And, I love those
seats. What do you pay for your tickets?
I think it was like $700 for the two seats for the season. For the 13 games total.
So 13 into 35, it's $20.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you get benefits in this.
Yeah,
and
we
that.
Get benefits of the Birdland memberships and everything else like that. And so they've done a nice job in whether you're a 13-game holder, a 26-game holder, or the corporation that the full season holds, the Diamond members, of giving you value for that because this is what teams have learned. It's
and
not,
you can flip out if you want to go see Ohtani pitch Monday.
Right, exactly. I can move the seats dollar for dollar. They're very liberal about that, but they've understood what a lot of other teams did. You go from having a season ticket to a membership. It's no different than your friends at the Baltimore Arena. You know, CFG Bank Arena are going to talk about is that concert. That membership that they're going to do down there with what they're doing with concerts and all that they're doing in those nice party spaces. it's a membership, and they want people to feel that way. And if you've noticed here in the last 6 months, the Ravens have also done advertising about memberships in the upper deck, you know, the PSLs. They've sort of adopted that model, too, because they've got to sell to a brand-new group of people, because the 50s and 60-year-old people who bought seats in those days, or the first days of the Ravens now, are getting out. You know, whether it's age, whether it's they just don't want to mess with it.
Or they're getting thrown out, in my case.
Right,
so.
But whatever that is, you've had a transition to a newer group of people that are going to buy those seats in their 20s and 30s. So how do you get them to go to games, whether that's social spaces, whether that's perks of one kind or another,
well,
whatever
that takes. Well, the first thing was the party deck in Baltimore, right?
Right.
Like the party deck, even when the team stinks, it's nice to stand out in center field and have a beer.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So now they're doing the sprinkler thing. I mean, look, dude, you worked at the Birmingham Barons. You worked. The Saints didn't have trouble selling their brand. The Falcons always have trouble selling their brand in a college football town. I mean, you work for these teams. You sat in these high-level meetings around the NFL where they don't have any problem selling their brand. They have more problem protecting and shining up and WWE-ing their brand, which is really what they've done. I mean, the draft is like a WWF match. Like, totally. They've adopted all of these stolen ideas. Who are the Orioles stealing ideas from right now? Because they got a really good baseball team. I don't know what the idea is. It's make a bobblehead, charge $10 more that night to pay for the bobblehead. That was kind of, you know, T-shirt night. Oh, okay, that's not a $15 night. It's a $22 night. $6.80 goes to buying a shirt. Like, that's how they've done promotions with this ratcheted up Tuesday night. Nobody wants to go to the game. Ollie doesn't sponsor it anymore. Let him in for $10. Whatever the ideas are, and I don't think T.J. Brightman has any of them, or I've seen them by now, or John either, but this is a chance that they can't just say, we have Adley Rutschman, screw you, pay full price, come out. And it can't be, I need a widget or a bobblehead, or it's about wearing a funny hat, although I am wearing a funny hat on behalf of Window Nation. I don't know what it is. I really don't. I mean, my dad and I love freaking baseball, and we love Baltimore. It said Baltimore on it, but we love baseball. We loved winning. We loved high-fiving. We loved Eddie Murray. We loved the player. We loved the game. We loved the strategy. I didn't love gambling. I play lottery, and I merely, but I'm not betting on gambling. It would have got me thrown out of the league. People go up to me on the street and say, what did you do wrong? Were you betting on the games or something? And I'm like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, but that would have been the kind of illicit stuff. But on the baseball side, everything's about betting on this pitch, this guy hitting a home run now. They've worked it into the broadcast where Ben McDonald has to talk about it now. So they have all of these things that are about making money. But what are they doing that's really engaging younger people? Not you and me. I don't know the answer, but they better be sitting in meetings, because if the sprinkler thing's cool, and if the beer bong, dong bong thing, whatever people like is a good idea right now. Whatever that, I never liked the pie in the face. People like, that's fine. But if people like it, Peter's got to be dead now, right? Like, this can't be about Peter or Peter's age or Chris or Nestor. This has to be about, you got 8,000 people at the ballpark. Show me how you're going to have 30 there, and it's not going to be because of the bird or the crab races. It has to be about being engaged with the team, and I know it was about the community. For me, it was always about, it said Baltimore, and I felt like I was a part of it, right? You make the magic happen, yeah. The magic of you make it happen. That Delmon Young moment, let me give us a rat's ass about Delmon Young. If he were here, nobody'd even know who he is. That moment is near and dear to people because it was shared together in that space, in that moment where everybody was pulling in the same direction, in a country, in a city, in a state where we don't all pull in the same direction, right? And, like, I don't know what's going to do that elixir, but it's not just we're winning, we're the Orioles, come get it. And I hope they're not thinking that, because for a generation they thought that way, and it never worked.
I'll go back to, we had a discussion about football. My general manager, Randy Mueller, says something, and we talked about the draft, and we're talking about, you know, on the run-up to the draft, we had a discussion. And I said, how did you manage the room as a general manager? And it's the same thing in marketing, whatever else you do. He said, here's the thing. None of us is smarter than all of us. In other words, you have people in the room that have different ideas, and all of us are smarter than one of us. You know, you may have a great idea, but if you have a room full of marketing people or anything, PR, whatever that is, and you start to share ideas, you come up with a better idea than the one you walked in with. So whether that's kids cheer free, whether that's the fact that baseball has changed the rules to make the game more action-oriented, to get the games under three
hours.
Well,
that's the number one thing. It's a better game.
It is a better game.
Enough said.
I think it's a better game for the fans.
One reason I don't watch the NBA much, especially not even now, I don't think it's a very good game. Now, I would get an argument in the room right now. There are guys over here waiting for the games to come on. Like, literally, I'm sitting here watching guys that I could go over there. Those guys have forgotten more about the modern NBA than I know. I know a lot about the old NBA. I just don't find it compelling. I don't put on a game at 8 o'clock. It's a countdown to the draft lottery. Like, literally, everybody's here. Like, people are engaged. I was in Hawaii. Everybody's into the NBA, right? I watch the games, and I'm like, I just don't think it's interesting to me. Like, I don't play golf, and I don't really love golf or even like golf, but when it's on, it's kind of interesting.
Right.
How far to the pin, this, that, the action, the shot. It's something everybody can do.
Basketball, to me, is fun and interesting in the playoffs. It's not, and I've worked at more than a few Hawks games in Atlanta for TV, it's not that fun and interesting in the middle of February in game 54.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The regular season really, they're very talented players. Don't get me wrong. And I'll make a plug here for the Baltimore Catholic League. Cam Whitmore is going to be a first round pick.
Dude, they're talented, country music singers, but I don't want to see them.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm attracted to action and the things we're talking about.
So,
you know?
So you have a game that has changed that is now not just strikeouts and home runs.
Sure.
Okay, guys get on base. They run. You know, this is the Ricky Henderson sort of, you know, billy ball.
They've made the game better.
They have. And I know that the major leaguers were drag kicking and screaming, but the minor league guys were making their way up. They've been playing under these rules the last couple of years. So this
and
is
you're
a way.
You're watching the game, and all of a sudden you get a pitchcock violation. You're like, is that on the batter or the pitcher? It's on the batter. Oh.
Okay.
Well, it counts 2-2 now.
And you have a bunch of people who are, our age and older, who think that the game is sacrosanct, that you don't change the rules, that it should be the same way it's played 100
years ago. I don't think there's many of those people left, dude, because even the old people now are like, oh, they're starting the game at 6:30. Oh, it's getting over 9 o'clock. And the Orioles are good. This is what I'm saying, Chris. This is all coinciding at the back end of a plague where there's money coming into the city, where I'm going to have Bill Weidel here. The concert roster at CFG Bank Arena.
It's amazing.
If you've been doing this as long as you and me, it feels like Painter's Mill, Merriweather, the Baltimore Civic Center, and the Capitol Center all in one building, like on one. It feels like a Madison Square Garden roster.
Yes.
And that's exciting for the city. It's bringing people downtown. That's exciting for the city. Adley Rutschman, Lamar Jackson, all of this is exciting for the city. But baseball is the great light of 81 times downtown, bringing things together in the summertime and all history, Brooks, Boo, like all of that. It's possible again. For the first time in 31 years of me doing radio, because I feel like John, they're not going to let John own the team. I don't feel like the team's going to leave, but I don't think that John... There'd be a lease if there'd be a lease, right? I mean, so I'm not saying that it wouldn't be in his interest to shop for his best deal, and whatever his best deal is, then come back. So I don't believe in the Angelos family and iota. They're still lying, right, at all. But I believe in these players, and I believe in this general manager, and I believe that they'd have to really go out of their way to F it up in the next 24 to 36 months. I think there are things 5 years from now you'd look back and say, they did what? In the same way the Ravens didn't have Lamar signed, and the Ravens are thought to be a good organization, and they had a wayward six-month perception of period here. With the Orioles, they still have to prove T.J. Brightman and John Angelos are running the place. I've met these men. I'm not convinced that we have global change. I'm convinced they have a product now. Now, what happens next? I really don't know, but I really, on behalf of everyone, I hope it goes well. Because I'm not here to help them sell tickets. I'm not down there waving their flag. They don't invite me in. They treat me like garbage for the 17th year. I can just be honest, but I want them to do well. I want this to work. I don't know what the answer is to getting me, my wife, you, your wife, you go down and buy more tickets. You want to go to more games. In September, you want to be there 5 nights a week because it means something to you, and you'll reach in your pocket for another $700. Yep. And then the playoff invoice is going to come. You better start saving now, everybody. When you get priced out of going to games you want to go to and you feel the part of the magic and you're like, $125 for a divisional game, that's a $400 night for me and my wife. I don't know that I'm going to do that tonight.
Yeah,
in the same way that I'm looking at Janet Jackson this weekend and saying, I love Janet, but I'm not paying $200 to go down there.
I will say this. On the 13-game plan last year, they gave us an option. 13-game plan, you got one game a series that you could buy for. That was the option they were going to give you for postseason. So, which is fine because it'll be a buck and a half.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't mind doing that. If they got to the World Series, I know what that cost is because Major League Baseball sets
it. It's going to be an $800 ticket.
It's going
to be a $2,000 night.
That's probably way too much for me to do. I'll sit and watch it on TV unless I get a ticket. Okay.
Get one for $4.25 on the roof.
Right.
At the World Series.
Right.
Maybe.
You know,
it's $1,000.
Because of everybody else that wants tickets and everything else.
And it might be 28 degrees, and it might rain, and they might move the game time. It might be on Thursday when you had the cat sitter on Wednesday.
Right. Whatever that is.
I said to Leonard and Dennis, I said, be careful. Baseball playoffs sound like a good thing until you look up on Tuesday and see every game's TBA. You have no idea when because they don't care.
It could be 3:05, could be 1:05, could be 7:05.
And the Yankees could get eliminated on Saturday night, and they decide they want you to play at 8 o'clock now.
Right.
It
is. It's very made for TV because they're trying to maximize that too. So to me, that's the exciting part. I know, and that's a separate discussion we can have about the fact
it's a good problem that you can't afford your playoff tickets.
Right. And so we're talking. You know, there's a separate discussion because I know that the governor and John Angelos visited Atlanta, a place that I'm very familiar with at the Battery. I work 40 games a year for the Braves for TV.
And they're talking economic development.
Economic development. There are some very big differences between what the Braves were able to do in Smyrna and what they built and what may be possible around Camden Yards.
Just from a land standpoint.
A land standpoint, from a live-work-play standpoint. And again, you know, the greatest piece of land right now to me is south of the stadium complex. It's undeveloped. You know, you talk about there and what they're doing at Topgolf and what they're doing at Horseshoe Casino.
Around the casino.
And all those areas going down to the formerly
known Barks.
The artist formerly known as Port Covington, okay? You know, all that
area. It'll always be Port Covington.
Exactly. I told my wife that. It's always be Port Covington, whatever you call it. But again, that's a stretch of land that's incredibly underdeveloped, that borders on areas of Pigtown and others that are trying to get a leg up on their renaissance. Because everything had gone east. So now, what you're talking about is South Baltimore and West Baltimore now being this sort of, okay, what's that going to look like? And where do the stadiums and where does this
renaissance of baseball is coming at a good time.
It is.
It is coming at a good time. And I've been to San Diego. I've been to
right.
I've been to all these
You've
places.
Been places that
I've
have
been
to
all these places.
Right.
I know what's possible. I also know what the Rays have dealt with and the Athletics have dealt with. And I know the promise of Lodo in Denver that sort of never really came. And San Diego and overpriced property that when the Padres are doing well and trying hard, and they've been trying hard, people will come. I haven't seen that in Baltimore yet. And you talk gloriously about the Buck Showalter and all that. There was no residual from that. They didn't sell any more suites, any more tickets. They didn't find any more new fans. They didn't till any more new fans. They don't have a structure of fans of that age group that came to pass loving J.J. Hardy in the way that, I mean, I had Shannon Toback on at Captain Lee. I traded up while you were gone. I mean, I went and had a crab cake at your neighborhood joint.
Right.
Your ears were buzzing somewhere where you were in Seattle or Dallas. But I went down, and, you know, Shannon still got her Brady Anderson, you know, growth. But you know what I mean? Like, if you had a crush on Brady Anderson in 1994, you're the one going back to the ballpark right now with your kids, hoping your daughter has a crush on somebody or your son wants to be Ryan Mount. You know, like, all wiffle ball stances, all the things we did.
Right, yep.
It's not indoctrinated in the population here, and I still always say lacrosse. Lacrosse, to me, is the great equalizer for where the ceiling for baseball can be in this region because so many people have lacrosse in the blood, right? You and I didn't have it. We're baseball people.
Yeah.
But getting people into the guys wearing an Oriole hat over there right now. He probably wasn't last summer, right?
Right.
Like literally. And that is important. The pride in saying that's Baltimore, not that's Murderland or Bodymore, or more than that, that's last place. That's a loser. That's a winning hat.
Yeah.
And a winning hat means something, and this is, it's go time. It's go time for the Orioles.
Well, this is
and
what dude, they've been built been for the pissed. Last 4 years.
Dude, they threw me out. I went to Mike Elias, and I said, dude, you're here because I demanded this. I went and said, this isn't good enough. This needs to be better. Now that it's better, I'm not going to... Now it's, can they sell it? Can they sell it? And I hope they can. I hope the sprinkler, I hope every kid's into it. I hope your kid run. I want people to have fun with it. It's meant to be fun. It can't be fun when it's not well manicured. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
It hasn't been fun. It hasn't been fun for a long time. But it's fun again.
It is fun again. And again,
and this reminds you how much fun it is.
Well, it does. And also, they've had 4 years of a run-up, and I mentioned this in a previous segment, of the minor leagues being in the state of Maryland. So if you wanted to watch all these guys make their way up the ladder.
Everybody who wanted to see Rutschman play at Bowie did.
Yep.
Right?
I went up to Aberdeen, because of the crab feast they have up there. Okay? But there are a lot of people who go up there because it's a cheap ticket. They want to see Jackson Holliday play. They want to see Grayson Rodriguez pitch. You know, Norfolk's a little further away, but if you want to see these guys at the start of their career and that group, you could do that and get excited about these guys 2 and 3 years before they made their way to the Major League roster. And so this is what they've been selling for the last 4 years and are now taking advantage of it because they've got a window. And I think that's important, you know, whether that's, again, whether that's kids cheer free to try to get kids in the ballpark, whether that's trying to be liberal about what you can bring into the ballpark because they know what the prices are, whether that's Levy or whoever the previous folks doing the concessions are. Okay, it's not cheap. You know, I get 25% off with my season ticket at any of the concession stands or the, you know, the Fanatics
store. That's helpful.
Yeah, or 30, if you're full season, you get 30%, okay? So they've tried to make it ways for you, A, to upsell you, because that's always what they're going to try to do, but also making it value-based.
Well, it made it a lot easier to get a beer, and I'm going to talk to Bill Wiedel from CFG Bank. The new arena also, it's like a Royal Farms. You just grab it, and you grab it and do it. Yeah, so simple as that.
And so you have all these things in place. So if you're there for a giveaway night, great, okay? I love a good bobblehead of, you know, Boog Pal or whatever, okay? Or, you know, I picked up my Adley Rutschman bobblehead as a gift for the Birdland memberships here with him in his arms out the celebration one. You know, it's cute. You know, whether that's there, whether it's fireworks, whether it's the opponent, you know, I'm excited to see Ohtani pitch and play, you know, get with the Angels coming in. Whether it's the balanced schedule, you're seeing teams maybe you haven't seen.
Pirates.
You know, Braves, whatever that is.
Teams you never want to see again, the Pirates.
Never want to see, yeah, exactly. But there are reasons to come out to the ballpark, and if you want to spend $10 to sit in the bleachers, you can do it. You can still find cheap tickets in the upper deck and go and have a nice night out in Baltimore and enjoy everything that area has to offer, whether that's the bars across the street, whether that's the restaurants nearby, our good friends of Amici's for dinner.
Nice.
To make our way over. Okay, you know, have early
over here
dinner.
Celebrating. I don't know, we're celebrating something.
They're celebrating something, but a 6:30, you know, I love the 6:30 times during the week for kids and for adults. You get home at 20 after 9, you haven't spent all night at the ballpark, you're not dead the next day. You know, it's 2.5 hours. It's quick. It's snappy. You know, that thing you do, you know, keep it snappy, right?
Right.
And that's really what they're doing. So there's a lot of good reasons to come out. And the biggest reason is this team's actually kind of good. And they've got great stories. And the type of guys you can root for. Are they Robinson, Palmer, Weaver, and whatever?
Not yet.
But you could see that in Rutschman. You could see that in Mountcastle. Jackson Holliday is going to be a huge fan favorite when he gets here. Rodriguez, Means already is. You know the names. And that's that next group. And can you keep them together and all that? We'll find out down the line. But there's a window here for them to do something really special. And it's been 40 years since we've ascended to the mountaintop of this city.
Do you want to talk about Lamar or you want to let it go and segment on Lamar?
We can do a segment on Lamar.
Well,
we can say, I mean, either way. I mean, I think that
give me 2 minutes on Lamar, and then I'll take a deeper dive. Just where you are on the whole thing, including Chad Steele saying no questions about my quarterback. So just there's a lot that went on here the last 6 months that's just all been whitewashed by the fact that he's here. I've always questioned, well, what does that mean when he can't play in December? Does that mean that we're going to win the Super Bowl? I don't know, but they're better with him than they are without him. Now, once he's making $52 million a year, much like Flacco, he's taking up 20% of the cap. There's a level that he's going to have to play at that I don't want to say we've never seen it before, not even in 2019. And Luke and I disagree about that. We fight all the time about it. And that's good.
It is good. I mean, listen, it had to be, and having worked again on the inside, it had to be incredibly uncomfortable for Eric DaCosta and those folks in the front office to deal with what they were dealing with. But when you're in negotiations, whether that's with an agent or, in this case, the player, those are hard, as Randy Mueller would say, they're very hard conversations. And you have to be ready to have those hard conversations. Usually it's with an agent to say, listen, your guy's only worth X. You think he's worth Y. It's different when you and I are sitting next to each other and I'm the general manager and you're the player and you're negotiating on your own behalf and I am telling you that I don't think you're worth Y. And you're telling me that you're worth Y. And this is, and so those are hard conversations with no buffer. And that had to be incredibly uncomfortable for the Ravens front office to go through over the last several months. Never mind the injury situation, never mind everything else about whether he's going to be at voluntary OTAs or not, everything we've talked about over the last year. It's easy to have the kumbaya moment to look back and say, hey, we're not talking about the past, right? You know, the old Mark McGuire. We're not here to talk about the past, okay? Now they're in a loaded AFC. Incredibly loaded AFC with quarterbacks. How are you going to navigate that schedule and those quarterbacks to get you to the promised land in late January, early February? Okay? That's where this turns
well,
to now.
I would say it's one of the reasons you and I don't have to do a half an hour on Lamar right now here at State Fair on the Crab Cake Tour, because what are we talking about Lamar? And, I mean, they don't play for 6 months. They just got a schedule. And people are like, what do you think about him playing Christmas night? I'm like, let me know whether Lamar's upright on Christmas night, and I'll tell you that at that point they're 8-5 or they're 9-4. You know, they'll be good. That I don't know that that's good enough. And good is good enough right now for the fan base, because the fan base believes, and as Art Modell once said, you either have hope or you don't. So they went from not having hope or to being adrift in that purgatory to, oh, the fans think we have hope. All right, enough of the fans think Lamar can win, beat Burrow and the rest of these kids, Mahomes and these guys. And okay, I mean, I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that he's a January quarterback. Yeah, you know what I mean? Until January. Right.
Until you prove it like Flacco did in that one great run, and all it takes is one of those runs.
I haven't seen that from Trevor Lawrence yet.
Right.
But I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to get broken in half.
Right. And you look
running the linebackers.
You look at the difference in hope in Kansas City, pre-Mahomes, now with him. Cincinnati, with Burrow, has made a huge difference to them and has made them a legitimate Super Bowl
contender. Well, the Chargers have hope because everybody loves the quarterback, right?
Yeah. So you have this gauntlet of quarterbacks, really good ones on this side, that are going to be, you know, if the Ravens get through this gauntlet and get to the Super Bowl, they will have earned it, because there is no way.
Easy path.
There's no easy path here. This isn't the NFC.
Yeah, go to the NFC.
You can avoid some of that. There's no avoiding that here. There's no avoiding it in the AFC. There's no avoiding it in the division. Okay? Those six division games are all going to be hard, because all three of those teams, Cleveland included, are going to be difficult. So what does that look like?
Chris Pike is here. I hope he has the winning ticket. I'm not in control. They just give them to me. They're all the same. I've given out 100 of them here. We're at State Fair. We're in Catonsville in the 21228, where life is great. Chris can be found at Blog and Tackle, back off the road of the XFL. You find him at Section 338 at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Anytime Shohei Ohtani's pitching, he'll be down there. We are going to be here with Window Nation at the local in Falston. So we're going from Baltimore County up to Harford County. That's on the 23rd. That's a Tuesday. I have a whole bunch of dates. I'm coming to Halethorpe. I'm coming to Wilkins Avenue in June. It's true, over by St. Joe. I there are crab cakes that I still have yet to encounter. This one's a little familiar to me, to one at State Fair. I haven't had a crab cake here in about 9 months. So I made this. I'll leave it with this, because I'm going to have Bill Weddle on. from CFG Bank Arena. And I've been at concerts the last two nights. I was in Philadelphia with Seal last night at the Met, and I was at the Anthem on Wednesday night with Seal. Fell in love with Seal this week. Best shows I've ever seen. Top 10 all time. I've gone back-to-back nights. But I'm driving back from Philly. My wife's out of town. Late night, and I'm wanting a Waffle House. And I pulled into the Elkton Waffle House. It was closed. I ain't never heard of a Waffle House being closed, but I think it was a staffing issue. So I wound up at the Waffle House in Abingdon, Bel Air, like right at Edgewood, right? 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got the all-star breakfast because, you know, hey now, you're an all-star. So they bring me out a waffle and grits and eggs and raisins. Like, I had the trimmings, all of it, right? I forgot to put the pecans in a waffle. So I'm sitting there at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm totally sober. I didn't have anything to drink. Like, I drank water at the concert. Just, I'm driving. I'm like, hey, you know, whatever. Beers are 17 bucks, to your point. There was nothing I really wanted to drink, so I didn't drink anything. I'm drinking water. I'm eating food. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking at this waffle, this big slab of grits, and I'm like, I'm doing a show at State Fair. My two favorite things at State Fair are the shrimp and grits and the chicken and waffles. And I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to justify eating a waffle and grits at 1 o'clock in the morning and then coming back to State Fair and doing it again? So no shrimp and grits, no chicken and waffles, but there might be a crab cake involved. Bill Widell from GFG Bank's arena and the bank itself is going to be here talking rock and roll, banking, cannabis legalization, local banking, arenas downtown, and how I can get Janet Jackson tickets cheap. He's Chris Pica. I'm Nestor. We are WNST. Back for more from State Fair. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90-NATION. Order them. Buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. Maybe Widell will give me a 5-year loan at 0% financing. I don't know. We'll find out. Back for more from State Fair in Catonsville. We're going to talk some banking, have some fun. It's a great, great day out here in Catonsville.